You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Ravens Weekly. That's right, we're back. Great to have you all here listening to us once again. My name is Matt Hall. It's brilliant to be back with you. We've got some new toys, but first of all, let's say hello to everyone. Jeff Hutton, welcome back.
Hello, everyone.
And Josh Tindall.
Hello.
Josh, you've actually got to speak on the podcast now. How do you feel about that? You can't just sit there and type now.
I know, I've been promoted. I'm buzzing.
Empty the money bank and manage to get another little money jar on it, get another microphone for a change.
Oh, isn't it brilliant? This setup, absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
We've got this new toy as well now, though. What's this?
Ryan, welcome to Bromley Football Club. You've signed...
Wrong one.
That's for later. We've skipped ahead in the running order a bit there, everyone.
What was I looking for? Where's it gone? Oh, well, carry on. I'll find it.
Is it the cricket sound? Just while we try and find what we were meant to be doing.
No. Just explain to the viewers, the listeners, what's going on.
Right, okay, so we've got a brand new podcast set up here. Usually, we've just got some mics plugged into a computer and we have the occasional audio fail, don't we? However, now we've got a fantastic...
Oh, there we go.
I can stop talking now.
Oh, no, it's finished.
Do you want to play it again?
I should have done that as intro, actually.
Well, we are back. It's brilliant to be back. I think, hopefully, we're back by some kind of... relatively popular demand. There's a few people, and when I say a few, maybe two or three people, asking where the podcast has been. But we are back now, and we are back on a weekly basis. And it's brilliant to be here. Anyway, let's get started then, shall we? And we're going to talk about the most recent fixture. We're really having fun up here, everyone. We're going to talk about the most recent fixture, which, of course, was Altrincham away. And there was a beam back in Broomfields, wasn't there, Josh? A bit of Tuesday night football in Broomfields Bar and Kitchen.
There was. Obviously, we've introduced a new streaming system, or the National League have introduced a new streaming system, and we're going to be showing the games in Broomfields. And... yeah, the first Tuesday night game was last Tuesday as we went to Altrincham.
It wasn't a bad showing considering it was Valentine's night.
Yeah, no, it was good turnout. Good turnout, full of Bromley
fans. But we're doing the same for the next two games as well?
Yeah. So Woken on Tuesday and then Torquay away the week after.
It's special though, isn't it? Pancake Tuesday or something?
Shrove Tuesday, yes.
Kids eat free.
Oi.
There we go.
And pancakes are on the menu?
Yeah.
Get on down.
We're going to get him on the show next week, aren't we? But obviously Will's joined us. Will's our new head of F&B. So I know we're keen to get him on the show because he's obviously got some changes, a new menu and stuff that he's launching in March for Broomfield. So
very exciting.
A lot of positive stuff there going on as well.
And the breakfasts have come back, which
full
is...
English, yeah.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
Beans in a gravy bowl. I was loving life the other day.
Oh, fantastic. So the breakfasts are back. So grab your breakfast on a match day. Broomfield's open from early doors on the Saturdays. Do come along and join us for those Tuesday night fixtures. But back to the football. And it was a rather daunting trip, given that the trip was made and the game should have been played on the 7th of January. However, half an hour away from the ground, as we were, only to receive a phone call to say that the pitch was waterlogged and the match would be called off. The team had already travelled up the night before. What a nightmare.
Didn't Altrincham train on the pitch that afternoon as well or something? No. I was having some malicious start. I'm sorry. I thought someone posted a photo that would train on the pitch. I don't know.
But it was back to Altrincham on a Tuesday night, as we'd done before in previous seasons, and a brilliant performance on the night. I was joined by David Meluish.
I was going to say, brilliant performance in the commentary box as well, I'd like to add.
David Meluish.
I don't know who you have at home games, whoever that bloke is, but tell you what, Dave on comms at away game.
So just to give a bit of background, David is a community trust volunteer here at the football club, and he is one of our Ravens chat, one of our have we got a sound effect for that? There we go, that'll do. One of our founding members of Ravens Chat, which it was brilliant to have him on the commentary, and he offered a different insight into what I usually have alongside me. So a big thank you to David for Well, I'm that just being harsh. Genuine. It's different. I didn't say better or worse. I said different.
You meant professional.
But David was brilliant. It was brilliant to be joined by him in the press box. And here's our account of the evening.
I've got a bit of a theory on this one. I, as a coach, I always say hit the goalkeeper, but I know that this one won't. This will go over the top.
This is going to be Jude Arthurs taking this one. Welcome to Ingen, who is tuning in the car. I can't believe you're not here, Ingen. Jude Arthurs to take this free kick for Bromley in a promising position. It's going to be a right-footed effort from Arthurs. It is in towards Webster. Webster with the
right
header.
Cross.
And it's into the back of the net. Byron Webster with the finish there. He just got the slightest of touches, Byron Webster. Brilliant free kick from Jude Arthurs.
Brilliant.
And Webster nods home. Great start, as opposed to the free kick, which was a peach of a delivery, wasn't it, a moment ago.
Yeah.
And Arthurs now with a right-footed corner. Plenty of bodies making their way up for this one. Omar Shomi just drifting into the box now. It's played towards him by Arthurs. Shomi with the header, and it's cleared away. It's Chico at the back post who buries it into the bottom corner.
Absolutely.
And Bromley have a second. And Michael Cheek is the man who buries it into the back of the net.
Very good.
Great finish.
It was great. It was a great corner. The ball came down. In actual fact, I think there was possibly a handball on the line, but the ball was placed straight back in the net again, so it was terrific.
Well, Dave, you must be a good luck charm at the minute.
Yeah, we're not hanging me around your neck.
There's a long way to go, though, isn't there?
No, oh, God, 2-0. But it's the sort of start that we've been looking for some weeks.
What a hard-earned 3 points that was. Another positive result at Altrincham and a just reward for the 59 fans who made the journey. Big thank you to everyone who attended Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen as well and those who tuned in on Bromley FC Live.
Obviously, this will come as a shock to the listeners at home, but obviously, being unscripted as this podcast is, I think we've jumped ahead a bit of Altrincham because obviously we had some good news the previous weekend, Matt, on the Friday.
We had some brilliant news concerning a young player who has burst onto the first team scene recently, that being Academy graduate Kellen Fisher. There was a big production and a quite hefty interview piece, which was very well received. And nobody put more time and effort into that than Josh Tindall. Josh, you're blushing. How was it?
It was a team effort. It was a team effort.
He's very humble, everyone.
No, it was good production put together by myself, Jeff and Matt. And we interviewed Kellen after he signed his new contract. And we also spoke to Andy Woodman, chairman and owner, Robin Stanton Gleaves. And we also caught with Tom Beaumont, who's head of academy, and under-18s head coach Jamel, and Steve Harris as well. And Kellen came across really well. And I think the whole production was a success overall. And,
yeah, I mean, not blowing our own trumpet, but to be fair, Josh was the one who managed it all, pulled it all together. I think it was really nice, rather than, you know, the usual sit across from interview, you know, one. Yeah. I think it was really nice to get everyone's perspective on it. I think he does a great job of telling his story here. You know, a lot of us remember probably the Tunbridge game, I think, wasn't it? FA Trophy. Yeah. He played that day, and I remember he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. And for those who haven't seen it, here's a quick snippet for you.
Oh, his attitude's first class. Like, there is, if he's the one that we would put up and go to every student that walked through this door, this is how you need to be. Like, he will ask questions, he will turn up, he will do, he will be professional, he will give 100% every time he goes across the pitch. And his classroom as well, everything was done always on time, work that needs to be done. So he is the exemplary student for us, that if anyone's walking through the door and they go, who they'd want to be, we'd hope everyone would want to say Kellen Fisher.
Wonderful to see Kellen get the first team and have a run of games like he has this season.
I was really buzzing. When it first got mentioned to me, I was over the moon and I didn't think twice about signing it. So I think now I've just got to kick on, just keep trying, working hard every day and hopefully keeping my spot in the team.
And if you'd like to watch the whole video, you can head over to our YouTube channel. Just type in Bromley FC and you'll be able to watch the full feature.
It's up on the website and it's still on social media as well, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah.
I think, like I say, it's really worth a watch. It's really good to get an insight from Tom, from the academy perspective, Jamal and Steve as coaches, Andy's as a gaffer, also as a chairman, obviously, who's been involved in the first year pro setup, and that's really worth, really is a good listen. Back to this week, Matt. Obviously, Tuesday, a lot's happened since Tuesday night and that fantastic win. A couple of new incomings, Matt.
Indeed. Just before we get to the two new incomings, there has been a loan departure, and that is the departure on loan of Marcus Sablé, who's joined Bowers and Pitsy, on a 28-day loan. Incoming, we have Ryan Stirk from Birmingham City, a young midfielder who joins on loan for the remainder of the season, spent last season out on loan at Mansfield Town and comes into this squad with a good bit of pedigree and experience in league football. It was a pleasure to catch up with Ryan earlier this week, and here's what he had to say. Ryan, welcome to Bromley Football Club. You've signed on loan from Birmingham City for the remainder of the season. How's it feel to be here?
Yeah, great. Obviously, I'm looking forward to getting going now, getting to play some football, meeting everyone. Like I said, I can't wait, and it's a pleasure to be here.
And you've had your first day today, talking of meeting everyone. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been great. I know I've spoken to the manager before, Gifford, so he's good. He's been brilliant with me, to be fair. I've met all the lads, great bunch of lads, and seeing like a tight-knit group, so it's good, yeah.
We've just spoken about it off camera. You know Tate Campbell, who had a loan spell also from Birmingham here a couple of years ago. What's he told you about the club?
Yeah, I spoke to Tate. He says how good the club was, how well it's run. He really enjoyed his time here, and he recommended it to me. And as soon as he said all the great things about the club, it was easy to come down for me.
And looking forward to meeting the fans?
Yeah, can't wait. Home game on Saturday, so hopefully get to meet everyone and get going.
And talking a little bit about your career as well as representing Birmingham City, you had a loan spell at Mansfield Town last season. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, we made playoffs. We went on a great run, middle of the season. I got the games that I wanted to get, and it was a shame that I didn't get the games at the start of the season this season as well. But now I can't wait to start playing again.
And you've got international pedigree as well, representing Wales at a number of age groups, including under-21s. So that must have been a very proud moment for you.
Yeah, definitely. I've come through the age groups at Wales, so yeah, it was a proud moment. And, playing for Wales, it's an honour for me. And, like, it's one of the things where you think as a kid, I'm not going to do that, but yeah, it is good.
And for anyone who hasn't seen you play, how would you describe yourself as a player, and what do you think you can bring to the team?
Yeah, I'm a holding midfielder, I can play eight as well. I like to get on the ball, like dictate games, but I can do the other side as well, get up tight to players, press players, win the second balls and that, so yeah.
And you signed on the Thursday, had your first training session, another one tomorrow, and then potentially straight into action on Saturday as we welcome Dorking Wanderers here. Looking forward to that?
Yeah, hopefully straight in. It should be a good game. Obviously, the win the other night was good. For the team, so hopefully we can follow that up with another win and keep getting the points on the board.
Well, welcome on board, Ryan. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to catch up with Ryan there.
Brilliant, and really looking forward to seeing him in action in a Bromley shirt. But before we move on, let's take a mention for our loanees who had a successful week. It was Finlay Lovett who scored for Corinthian Casuals on Tuesday night and actually put up quite an interesting tweet, which I think might have included a little misspelling.
What did he tweet?
He meant to say great shift. He meant to say great shift. He ended up saying a great. well done.
Always get to use a sensor so early.
Well done to Finlay, it's always good to see players making a success of their time out on loan. And David Smith as well, who's playing for Hastings United at the moment, got his first goal with a brilliant finish on Tuesday night. So well done to him, and it's good. Always good to keep track on how our young players are doing out on loan.
And is this a podcast exclusive coming up within the second bit of news?
I think it is. Yeah.
So you may have already seen that we've completed the signing of Cameron Green.
That's gone out at the same time as this podcast, hasn't it?
Yes.
Brilliant.
It has.
And so, Cameron actually christened the podcast setup here, didn't he? He was the first ever external guest
on the new setup.
Are we keeping that in?
Keep that in.
That's another sound effects option.
Wow.
That was so good.
Brilliant. Sorry, carry on, Matt.
But yeah, he was... Yeah, he was very impressed with the setup and I think the facilities as a whole, to be fair. He came in, he was very complimentary of us as a whole. So, yeah, very positive.
Cameron spoke really openly about his career in football and what he hopes to achieve here. And it was really refreshing, actually, to hear him speak and to catch up with him. I found it a very interesting conversation and here's what he had to say. Cameron, how are you doing?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Delighted to be here and just can't wait to get going, really.
So I was just going to say on that point, you've been here for a couple of days now. How has it been for you? How have you settled into everything around the club?
Yeah, really well. I mean, it's a great group of lads. I know Harry Forster from Watford before, and my good mates Ethan Common was here before, so he gave me the lowdown before I came in. And it's nice to get through the front door, see a familiar face in Harry, and get to know the boys day by day and get playing football, really.
And how's training been for you so far?
Yeah, it's good. You know, the standard's really high, high intensity, and it's nice to be back at a decent level, good players, get on with the staff. So it's been good all round, to be fair.
Obviously, one of the things that often strikes players coming into this club is actually the facilities and the investment that's gone into them. Did you know about these facilities before you came in? I guess Ethan or Harry might have spoken to you.
No, I didn't, to be fair. Obviously, I was quite surprised. You know, National League level, these are probably Premier League level facilities. I was shocked, you know. The clubs I've been at, this is probably actually definitely the best facilities I've seen. So to be a part of that and to be around facilities like that is great. For me as a player, you can only really improve, so it's exciting.
One of the clubs that you were at was Wrexham, who were also in our league. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I joined Wrexham after having a bit of a spell out of football. Thoroughly enjoyed my time there. It was tough, but my first probably real exposure to men's football at a decent level, and it was good. So now being back at this level with Bromley, I'm looking forward to getting started.
Obviously, you've come in to work under Andy Woodman and his management team. There's a lot of experience in there. How have they been for you so far?
Yeah, really, really good. You know, they're really transparent with their messages they've given me, which as a player you can only cherish and you appreciate that. And I've only met them for the first time, was it maybe a week ago or two? So, yeah, just to build on that relationship, building that player and staff. But, yeah, I can't speak highly of them enough.
Obviously, Josh has just touched on there, you've played for Wrexham, you played in the National League before. What's your thoughts on the National League as a division? It seems to be actually, so a lot of people say it's more competitive than League Two, and it seems to be that way.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like I said, when my first stint in that league with Wrexham, with the team that wanted to get promoted, and I was quite surprised when I found out there was only one team that went up automatically, and then one other to the playoffs. It's like, I think it's one of the hardest divisions to get out of, and for Bromley to be in the position where they are, to have a chance to get out of that is credit to the boys, credit to the staff, because it is the hardest league that I think I can see by my eye, and any team can beat any team on any given day, so to be good over 42 games is tough, you know, to get that one top one spot is nigh impossible, so to be in around the playoffs is a great position to be in, and what, with 15 odd games to go, so it's a great final push, so hopefully we can do it.
And for those who don't know, how would you describe yourself as a player?
So left-sided, left-back, left-wing-back, very energetic, like to get forward. I like to try and beat my man, so I'd say I'm more of an attacker than a defender, an attacking defender, so to speak, but lots of energy, run for 90 minutes, so hopefully that's what the Ravens fans will appreciate seeing.
And what's your ambition this season?
For me, it's to try and get into the team. You know, the gaffer's made it very clear that I'm going to have to fight to get every minute on the pitch, which not scared of doing, you know. I know I'm going to come into it and probably not start straight away, so for me it's to now try and fight and get minutes on the pitch and then see where we go from there, take each game as it comes, be ready for when and if I'm called upon, try and help the boys see how far we can get, really.
And talking of the fans, have you played a game at Hayes Lane before, and how are you feeling about potentially making your debut in front of the fans this Saturday?
No, I haven't played at Hayes Lane, to be fair, and I was here maybe 2 or 3 years ago under Neil Smith, just training to keep fit, so I've been here before and I've heard good stuff about the fans, so now for me to potentially be given a chance to make my debut in front of them, obviously exciting, a little bit nervous, but obviously exciting, and hopefully they warm to me, I warm to them, and I'm sure it will be good.
And you talk about coming into the team that are fighting for the playoffs. It's a crucial few weeks ahead, isn't it? And that must be something you relish as a challenge for yourself as a player.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, if you're coming into a team, you kind of want to be working for something, you know, and we're at the right end of the table. So that's exciting, you know. Any footballer will say they always want to win something. So to be given that chance, how big the chance is up to us. But to have that chance is what will get you out of bed in the morning, give you that drive to go and run that extra mile, hit that extra tackle and run that bit further, because like I said, it's such a hard league to get out of. The boys are putting so much hard work up until now, there's no point throwing the towel in, you know, you're that close to getting in and around it. Now it's got to be focused, work hard and see where we end up.
And finally, you are the first player on our return to the podcast. How's it feel?
Yeah, it feels good. The setup's good,
isn't it? Sounds good. I was going to say, Cameron, you're the first person apart from us to use this setup. It must be an honour.
Yeah, the equipment's amazing, to be fair. I'm looking around the room thinking this is some professional club we've got going on here, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it's brilliant to have you on board, Cameron. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in action.
So, what a great interview it was. It's great to be set up in this setup. Brilliant. It spoke really well, Matt, and it's amazing how more relaxed they are in this sort of environment in terms of the podcast set up around a table, almost as an in conversation rather than a sort of, I don't know, direct interview in front of a camera.
Certainly, it feels a lot more relaxed, and I think you've not got that camera pointing in your face. You feel a little bit more at ease, and people tend to open up more. So
I was going to put some cameras in here, though, for the next podcast episode. But just at a distance, not like...
We just won't tell the players.
It's not walking into Andy's office with a tripod and a camera. Yeah. It's more of a relax.
Absolutely, yeah.
It came across that way as well.
Yeah, Cameron spoke really, really well. He's clearly very happy to be here. He's enjoying himself in his very limited time here so far. So, look, let's see what he can do for us. He's obviously been, you know, talented enough to play for Wrexham in the National League last season. And, I'm excited to see what he can achieve here.
Did we come up against him in the... In the trophy final?
No, we didn't. No, he wasn't involved that day. No, but did spend time with Wrexham prior to that, and has scored a goal in the National League as well, away to Kings Lynn in a 6-2 victory for Wrexham.
I think that's the men's senior team pretty much covered off now, Matt. Josh, what's up next? What have we got? Community, Andre?
Community Corner.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're calling it? Is that a new feature?
Yeah, I think it's
With a jingle
for that. Yeah. Hang on, what we got?
What we got there? Oh, no, not crickets, no. Yeah, that's
Community Corner.
Hang on, do that again. 2 seconds, go on.
It's Community Corner. There we go. That's brilliant. Got a ring to it, right?
Honestly, this is great. You get like BAFTA awards for like radio productions and stuff.
Well, you know, I'm sure we'll find out one way or the other very soon. it's been a hugely busy few weeks, few months, year and a half, whatever, for the Community Trust. There's always something going on.
2 years old, are we?
There's always, we're coming up, aren't we? Yeah. So with all of that in mind, we are delighted to welcome onto the podcast Women and Girls Development Officer Andrea Ellis. Andrea, let's get started. I bet she feels very special. Let's get started on Sunday as the week began, if you like, on that day for us. And we had a fantastic Festival of Women's Football, didn't we, at Hayes Lane on Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me along. Sunday we had our first Spring Rec Festival. So we welcomed 8 teams to come along down to Hayes Lane, all playing on the stadium pitch, taking part in a sort of fun recreational festival, giving everyone an opportunity to take part in football. And it was a really, really good event, actually. We had 2 of our community coaches refereeing as well and got lots of positive feedback.
It's brilliant to see, isn't it? And that builds, obviously, for those that don't know, on the fantastic work you and all of us at the Community Trust have put into women and girls stuff. And that started, really, we're going to go back a few years here, with the Bromley Bells. I believe it was 2018. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's our 5th birthday next month. So I think we're going to have a big party.
And that's come such a long way, hasn't it, since the idea started out in your head, really. And it's really come to fruition now. And we've got a number of women who come on a week-by-week basis to enjoy those sessions.
Yeah, it started in 2018. And I think we had about 12 women turn up on the first session. I was very, very nervous. I managed to drag one of my friends along and she said, "Who do you know?" And I said, "Just her," which was really hilarious. Out of those 12 girls, we still got 7 of them coming along every week. So pretty good retention there. And now we've got around 80 members. So really fantastic to see it grow, and just shows what an appetite there is for older women, particularly to play football. Especially after the Euros, and that's really grown. So really good. But we're also seeing now there's a lot of people under 30 that are really interested in taking up women's recreational football. They've never played before. They didn't have an opportunity as well. They're kind of coming along, and we got one little success story, actually. One of the girls, I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning her name, Fran. She's been coming with us for a couple of years, and she's really grown in confidence throughout that time. And she was one of the younger ones, and we're really pleased to say that she's actually taken the plunge and joined a league team now. So wow. She starts that. really, really soon. So that's a great success story. Obviously, we're always welcome her back to come along and tell us about how she's getting on. So, yeah, so 5 years down the line and can't really have imagined how much it took off, to be honest.
We look back over those 5 years. In the last year, actually, you talk about the under-30s and ourselves at the Community Trust, supported by the National League Trust, were able to get some funding, which enabled us to do a brilliant programme called FAB, which you put into place and you ran. And that was really successful as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, FAB, or Football for Absolute Beginners, as it was called at the time. And we've kind of fondly called it FAB now because it is something that's introduced a lot of women to the game. So we put out like a 6-week introduction to football course, and we had a lot of uptake. And it was great to see lots of women come along. A lot of those people have stayed, wanted to carry on playing. It was a bit like a zero to hero or a couch to 5K. So it's great to have people coming along that had never kicked a ball before, just because we kind of saw that confidence was a barrier for people to come along and take up football. They were worried about what they had to wear, or, you know, they thought they weren't going to be able to know the rules. So we kind of covered all of that in our FAB course, and we're really looking forward to starting a new one, maybe when it's a little bit warmer, so we can get some more people out enjoying the football. But it's great to see it right from 18. Our youngest is 18 now, and our oldest is nearly 61.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And talking of those younger girls, we had the soccer camps this week. We'll talk more broadly in a minute. But recently we offered an exclusive girls-only soccer camp, and you've had that again this week. How's it been?
Brilliant, yeah, really, really good. So over the Christmas and the October half term, we trialled a couple of days and we were sold out for that. So we took the plunge and we're gone for a whole week. And we filled all those weeks, all the spaces that week. So we've had over 80 kids coming along, led entirely by female coaches. Really, really good to see as well that we had one of the girls who plays in our JPL team come along and do some shadowing yesterday. We also had someone from our academy, from the girls' academy, coming along. She's just completed her playmaker. She's looking at doing a introduction to coaching, which is level one in old money. And so, yeah, so she's kind of taken that really, really well, you know, because 6 hours with kids, really inspiring to see that those girls, you know, when we told her that you can come and do your school at Bromley from the age of 16, they were like, what, here? So yeah, I said, you get to play football all day. So it's really brilliant having an academy student here coming and being such a good role model as well for everyone.
And obviously it's been a really busy week for the trust, in the sense that we've had our half-term soccer camp, but before all that, you went to St George's Park this week.
I did. I haven't stopped talking about it. I'm in dreamland.
You can carry on talking about it now.
yeah, I was really, really lucky. My daughter, who's at the academy here as well, and I were invited up to meet the Lionesses. So we watched their open training session on Tuesday. And we were, well, just absolutely amazed. I mean, it was a fantastic training session to watch. We actually met the director of women's football across the whole country, which is Baroness Campbell. So it was brilliant. I had a little chat with her about what we're doing here at Bromley, including the bells, which was fantastic. She's really enthusiastic and, you know, loved hearing about what was going on here at Bromley. But, yeah, so we've been, we were invited, and then luckily enough, I kind of just expected that we were just going to get a few autographs and that was it. But we were actually invited onto the pitch, my daughter and myself, and managed to speak to a lot of them, told them about what we'd been doing as well in Bromley, and, you know, got some really fantastic feedback from the captain, like Leah Williamson, and chatted to Chloe Kelly and quite a few, Kira Walsh, and obviously Gaffer Serena Wiegman, which was so inspiring. It was brilliant just to sort of explain to them as well about how what they achieved over the summer holidays, over the Euros, was just fantastic for all women generally, and just so inspirational for those of us that have been maybe had an even harder journey. I mean, obviously we're really lucky here at Bromley because everything around women and girls is really well supported, but that's not always the case at other clubs. So I think they were appreciative of people that have gone before them that didn't have their opportunities, and likewise, we're appreciative of them, the Lionesses, being such fantastic role models for young and old people, for women across the whole board, whether you like football or not. So it was really brilliant to meet them, and completely in awe of them. And yeah, be great. I mean, maybe when they're sort of over 30, they might want to come and join the Bells.
There we go. I hope you told them about it.
Yeah, I forgot it, but you know, yeah, maybe I'll contact them and let them know.
And then obviously you returned back to Hayes Lane, and it was a full swing back to our soccer camp. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's so great. I mean, it's inspirational. You go out there and you've got the whole 11-a-side pitch, the whole 9-a-side pitch, children everywhere. And actually, I was just talking to one of the female coaches on the camp with me, and we were saying about how we started off with maybe 20, 40 kids maybe, and thought, you know, we're really doing really well here. And I think today we had over 100 boys and girls playing football, and just seeing it grow is fantastic. Such well-organised sessions as well. The coaches really, really take their time to get to know the kids, and, you know, we have a focus each day. So, you know, today for the girls, we were focusing on passing, receiving, and then matches in the afternoon because it's a Friday, and that's how we always finish off our half-term camps. So, yeah, lots of great football going on. Brilliant to see so many kids getting involved with other children that they might not have met until they cross that white line. And, yeah, great. Really, really good event.
It's brilliant, isn't it, as well, to see the first team players coming up and having a chat. It's not often you get to go to a camp like this as a kid and meet professional footballers. And I believe someone scored against Reece Charles Cook earlier.
Yeah, to be fair, shout out to Reece Charles Cook. He's been really good this week with the kids.
Oh, he's so enthusiastic. We were having our lunch in the stand, and the kids get so excited when the first team for the men's team have come out and they were practicing. And yeah, Cookie gave quite a few of them some high fives. And of course, once he'd given a couple of them, they all wanted one. But yeah, he's got the patience of a saint there, giving everyone a high five.
Well, it's brilliant to have you on the podcast, Andrea. I'm sure we'll have you back on very, very soon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Brilliant to hear from Andrea there as well. She had an absolutely fantastic impact with the Community Sports Trust, as you knew she did. She had a fantastic impact well before that as well with Bromley Bells right back at the start, Matt. Absolutely brilliant to hear from her. So, back on to First Team Affairs.
Absolutely. For the men's first team, we are taking on Dorking Wanderers this Saturday. And that is a tie that we look back on earlier this season, back to November. Possibly one of the more thrilling matches that the Bromley supporters will have seen this season. A 3-2 victory at Mill Lane on the day for the Ravens. A great level of support as well. And goals from Michael Cheek, Harry Forster and Omar Shomi sealing the victory that day. Let's have a look at a little roundup from the day. Here's Cheek after feeding off some more poor defending there from Dorking. Show me into the box for Cheek. Michael Cheek finishes beyond Joe Walsh into the back of the net. And he's finding some form now, Bromley's number nine. Nets his second goal in as many games. And Bromley carved the opener thanks to brilliant work from Show me and Whiteley. And it's Michael Cheek with the finish. It's going to be Hannum to take this corner. Harry Forster's come short, but I think Hannum wants to deliver it into the box, which he does. In towards Show Me. Show Me with the header, and it's into the back of the net. Omar Show Me has Bromley back ahead here. Another brilliant corner from Reece Hannum. And it's Omar Show Me with what looked like a deflected header into the bottom corner. And deep into this period of injury time, Bromley are back level. Looking for Cheek, it works its way around to Forster. Gets beyond his man, Forster into the box. Can he get the shot away? Does get the shot away, and into the back of the net. And Harry Forster sees his low shot squirm through the legs of Joe Walsh. And Bromley have a third, and it's Harry Forster's first goal of the season. And boy, does he deserve it.
Felt like an important win at the time. I remember Andy in his post-match interview obviously talking about it being a turning point for the team.
Yeah, I think you look back at that day and it was a really important one. It brought to an end a difficult few weeks of form. And Andy really wanted to see that DNA that he always talks about in the team, and not only in an attacking sense, but perhaps more defensively. And, you know, being for 10 men for most of the game, It was brilliant to take the 3 points, and the players really put their bodies on the line towards the end. And on that note,
we are joined by manager Andy Woodman. Andy, how are you today?
Very good, guys. Very good. With this whole new setup, it's very professional. I like it.
Brilliant. It's good, isn't it?
It's
brilliant.
It is.
This is a proper podcast setup. I like it.
If Andy Woodman's coming in saying it's impressive, yeah, we're doing well.
You make it sound like I'm moaning. I'm the happiest person at the club when we win.
There we go. Andy, we're just going to talk about last week first. Obviously, there wasn't a game last week, but you had a day of team bonding at Canary Wharf, and the players and yourself, the management team, were doing some go-karting. How was that?
Very, very successful. We didn't have a game, and I just felt a 10-day lead into our next game can be a little bit tedious and monotonous. And we took them go-karting at Canary Wharf, and it was brilliant. For anyone that hasn't been, they've got the electric cars there, which are brilliant, really fast. And we had some really good racing, and we'd done it all properly, like Formula One, you've got to qualify, etc., etc. You might be surprised who was on the winner's podium.
Who won? You're going to tell us.
In third place was myself, which the lad said I was a very aggressive driver. I think I must have rammed a few. In second place was Michael Cheek, and in first place was Brandon Daly.
Oh,
so wow. The staff,
the GK Union, right up there. Yeah, 2 out of 3 goalkeepers.
No fear in goal, you see.
Obviously, looking ahead then, you had that a break on the Saturday, which is rare, and then back into action on Tuesday. And especially that first half on Tuesday was a brilliant performance, wasn't it? You were really pleased at full-time.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we never had a game Saturday, so we had a rare Saturday off. And I actually give the players the day off Saturday. And it gave me an opportunity to go and watch a game in this league, a team that we're playing soon. So that was good. And then we trained on Sunday. So although I give them one day off and one day, I took it back on another. And we had to prepare properly. You know, it was a big game, Altrincham, for many reasons. Tuesday night game, travelling on the day now, because obviously an overnight stay, we'd done that and it was called off. So there was a lot of permutations that we had to get right in my head. And we went up there and we started well, and I knew we would do because we'd prepared and done everything right. My worry was that we might fade and people might not be able to get their head around that. Well, why would you fade? Because it's hard. It's hard to sit on a coach for 7 hours and not get tired. I know people can't believe that, but it really is. You sat still for 7 hours, you start, we get coffee. It's, you know, you wouldn't prepare for like a Premier League player wouldn't prepare for it. So why should any player? So it does make it hard. And I knew we'd might tire a little bit second half just because the legs are just fatigued sitting down for that long.
And go on. No. So, you after you, sir.
Oh, here we go. So obviously 59 travelling fans as well. I personally think with the whole streaming system coming into place, I thought we'd see a bit of a dip in the away following, but it was still good following from Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think the streaming situation, I wondered about that. And I think it's good because I find myself being able to watch my own son's games sometimes. So I think it's good for the league. And you're always going to get your hardcore supporters that want to go. And we've got a heart, let's be honest, we haven't got 20,000, but we've got hardcore supporters that will go no matter what. And I find myself really repeating this because it's really important. We consciously know that these guys have taken like a long chunk of their day and the following day, you know, away from themselves to come and watch us and support us. And then on top of that, we know it's cost them money. So, you know, we kind of build that into our team speech a little bit. I certainly do. And I know the players are really conscious of that. We've got a good, honest bunch there, as you know. So that all adds to it. And I felt that, you know, we come away from there, felt that we've done them proud. And you can see that after, you know, it doesn't matter how many there is there. The fact that the boys have put a shift in and sent those people home smiling is very important. And it means the world to us. It really does.
On a Tuesday night, the team sheet goes in 6:45. 20 minutes later, both teams have had to make changes to the starting 11s, which is really unusual. Obviously, a bit of a blow to lose Billy before the game, but James Vennings came in and did a brilliant job, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I said in my after-match interview, we had other things going on, as you well know, Matt. We had a Ryan Sturck that was meant to be signing on the Friday. That got delayed till the Monday. Then he's going to meet us on route Tuesday through situations that weren't really our fault. Then that fell through. Billy, I knew, wasn't quite right. I had to ask Billy to travel to see if he could be right. And he wasn't, you know. So we had everything going against us into the game. And look, James Vennings was brilliant. He stepped in. He could have quite easily been a bit cheesed off. But we haven't got that sort of temperament at this club. We haven't got that selfishness amongst the group. So James stepped in and done a really good job. And like I say, two changes, both teams. The knock-on effect of that is you, and again, I'm trying to sort of explain this to the supporter on the terrace, because they don't always get all of this. Then we play the game. Byron picks up an injury. There's one or two other niggles in there. And these are all a sort of a knock-on effect of the travelling. You know, you wouldn't put a racehorse in a truck, travel it for 7 hours, let it play, and then travel it back late at night and then play it again Saturday. You just wouldn't do it. And I always laugh at people when they say, well, these boys are paid so much money at any level, they should be able to do it. They're professional athletes. Well, you still wouldn't put an athlete or a racehorse through that. So that's why now the knock-on effect, this next game is the one that we've got to win, because, or get a performance, because, you know, it takes a lot out of you, getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning, then they've got to go from here to their home. Some of them get home at 4:30. And as much as we all think their wives would be understanding and let them lay in, their wives would be up at 7 saying, look, you have the baby. I've had the baby for 2 days. It's real. It's real life. So I have to be conscious of that, and conscious that these boys are as fresh as can be for the next game.
And you mentioned Ryan there. What can you tell us about our new signing?
Well, Ryan's a player that he's got good pedigree for a young man. He got promoted with Mansfield. He played 31 games in that season. And the only games he missed was because he got an ankle ligament injury, which kept him out for 6 weeks. So he's a good player. He's a proper number four. We knew we had to get one in because we knew Billy's sort of been on and off with various little injuries, not quite right, and maybe because we've been rushing him back every time because he's our, you know, one of our all-time favourite players here. So Ryan's come in, he's trained, he looks good, he forward passes, which I like, and he keeps it ticking over as well nicely. So he's a good all-round player for us. I hope he, you know, people see that. What I was really pleased about is when we announced it on our Instagram or whatever we do, our Twitter. I don't really follow those things too much, but I do try to look at one or two bits. And I saw the response of a lot of Mansfield fans. So that always makes you feel great as well, that you think, well, look, they are gutted that they haven't got him, because I know quietly they was trying to get him behind the scenes. So and they missed out in January. So the fact that we've got him and all those comments were in there kind of makes you think, we've got a good player in.
Cameron Green followed through the door. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Cameron's a player that obviously was at Wrexham, and he was on that show that they'd done, and he had a bit of banter on that show, which I thought was only harmless banter. And he got a lot of bad press about that, which was really unfair. It wasn't nothing untoward, and he left Wrexham, and I think if I'm right in saying that probably would have upset him a little bit. You know, he was only having a bit of a joke about one of the players, in it, like we all do. And he's found himself, like, you know, getting his career back together. He's been training with us. He's been playing at a club in a league or two below just to keep his fitness up. And he's come in here and he's done brilliant. He can play left back. He can play left wing back. And he's a real technically good player, very quick. Good energy, and I just felt that at this stage of the season, and going back over my sort of notes and thoughts of last season, if we look at the numbers Corey Whiteley does every match, for him to sustain that every single match and not touch wood, not get injured, it would be a miracle. So I just felt that we was light in that position, and last year I think we lost Corey for 11 games, I think it was, off the top of my head, and that really... I wouldn't say cost us, but it affected us. So I'm trying to sort of learn from what I did wrong last year and make sure we've got cover in certain positions that we don't come across that. And with the numbers Corey Whiteley does every match, you know, the sort of high running and high speed running, we've got to make sure that we rest him at the right times as well.
What always strikes me about these players, and particularly these two that have come in, is they come in, we speak to them, they look at the surroundings and they think, wow, you look at Cameron's been at Wrexham, you look at Ryan's been at Birmingham and Mansfield. They've come in and they're buzzing to be here, and the environment, the people, the surroundings, it inspires them.
Yeah, I think that's a real... I think I should really say this to the Bromley fan. Because I know that when all this was built here, they felt they was losing their identity as a club, as a family club. I've got to be honest, I think it's grown, this family club identity and this part of the community. Because the boys come in here, yourselves, you guys, all the staff in the office, all the people that work downstairs in the bar, you know, Salou, the cleaner, everybody feels a part of it and makes these new boys feel a part of it. So, and I know the fans will as well. You know, the fans with that bar on a Saturday, the Broomfields, that'll be banged out when the players walk through there. They all speak to the players. So I think we've actually got probably more of a connection than ever. I'm sure I'll be corrected on that by some fans. But, you know, I think there's a sort of a new era of a connection with the fans, which they want. And these boys come in here and they can't get enough of it. You know, the facilities are first class. They're you know... We spoke to Charlie Kendall the other day, and me and Danny sort of set it up in front of the group, saying, oh, "What's the food and the facilities like at Lincoln, Charlie?" We sort of it was a setup in front of the rest of the lads, really, because we knew our boys might sometimes take this for granted, and he went full tilt and said, "Nothing like this. This is unbelievable." And it was a little bit of a reminder to our lads, look, we've got it spot on right here. Let's not take it for granted, but equally, let's make sure that we use it for our professionalism. And you're right, you know, there's a good feel around this club at the moment with everybody, and so there should be.
Looking back at the Saturday's opponents, Dorking, we had quite an interesting game against them back in November. I'm not sure you will have been too happy near the end, or all the pressure. That said, the team defended really well towards the end, and Tom Smith, obviously no longer with us now, but put in a fantastic performance that afternoon, and good for Michael Cheek, Harry Forster and Omar to get on the score sheet too.
Yeah, that game sticks in my head quite big, to be honest, because I think we wasn't even in a particularly good place as a team going into that game. I think we lost a few and we weren't... Listen, I'm not stupid enough to know that we weren't functioning properly. I know the fans on the terrace are quick to tell me when I come in, and that's fine. But I could feel that, you know, the weeks leading into that game, we wasn't functioning properly as a team. We just didn't look like a Bromley DNA team. So when we got that result, after the circumstances of Corey getting sent off and the way we got that result, I come away from there absolutely buzzing, not just for the result, for the whole reason of I saw my DNA of my team out there again. Scrapping, fighting for every point, back against the wall, everything against us, getting a result. And that was the moment when there'd been a little bit of negativity, you know, and fans do get negative and they've got their right, you know, things not going well and the team's not playing well. But that was the day I walked out of there and I thought, we're back, you know, we're back to where we should be. And that core and that substance of a Bromley team of being real underdogs fighting for everything was there for everyone to see that day.
I think that, just one more thing. I think what epitomised that for me on Tuesday night was the very last kick of the game. Omar showed me with that block and the players celebrated it like they'd just scored.
It's so important. I mean, you know, we all give Cheeky the credit and yeah, the goal scorers always get the credit. You know, Cookie made a save at 0-0, which was actually at the time I thought it was a good save. Watching it back, it was an unbelievable save. And then Omar throws himself in front of a ball that's travelling at ridiculous speed to make sure we get the result. It was as good as goal. And I think again, you know, you go back to the little things we do, the go-karting we've done in the week, the bits and bobs we do behind the scenes here, I do behind the scenes with the team. You know, there is a unique togetherness here. And we I keep saying that we haven't got the riches of other teams. We have to find a way and a way to be up there with them. Without their finances, and the biggest thing I've always found, every club I've been at that's had success is team spirit, and we've got that in abundance.
And tomorrow you'll be coming up against one of the characters in the league in Mark White. What are your thoughts on Mark?
I like him, actually. I think he's been good for this league. Look, let's talk about, forget the YouTube for 1 second. This guy's got promoted 9 seasons, I think, on the trot or something, some unbelievable stat. And people say, yeah, but what about the level? It doesn't matter what the level. Getting a team promoted at any club, at any level, takes some doing. He's done it year in, year out for many years and put his club in the National League. So he deserves a huge amount of respect for that. And then on top of it, you know, he's brought this YouTube channel, which I'd actually seen before I even got this job. My son played it to me and said, get on this fella, Dad. You're going to have to watch him. He's a character, like. And I watched him and I liked him when I did it. He was different. But he's put a spotlight on this league again. And that's got to be good for all of us. You know, Wrexham, we all moan about Wrexham, me more than anybody, about their riches and they've got the owners and they've got this. They've put a brilliant spotlight on this league, and I think we should be thankful for these people. And Mark's done that with his you know, unique way. And I like him. I really like him as a man. I like him off the pitch as well. He's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but you know what? He's a good guy, a really good guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow.
And to sidetrack a little bit, obviously you mentioned your son. How is Freddie getting on at Preston?
Yeah, well, the Preston have had a funny old time. They've had a little bit of a time like we had before Christmas, to be honest. They had a lot of... they've had a few defeats and things not been going quite well. But I managed to see him after he come to our Altrincham game and watch the boys. He loves coming watching the Bromley boys play. Then after that, when I watched him play against Luton in the midweek game, and they had a man sent off and got a draw. So, yeah, he's fine. He's all good, thank you. And, my wife must be sick of football in our house. That's all she gets is non-stop football.
I was going to say, she's a regular, Anna, as well, at the games, isn't she?
Oh, she loves it. She can't get enough of it, can she? I mean, the fans think I get a tough time from them sometimes when we lose. You want to hear her. All the subs I made, what I didn't do, what I should have done. So, yeah, you can imagine when my face is looking a little bit, like, angry, it's probably because of her driving me mad.
Oh, this has been brilliant, hasn't it? Andy, thanks so much for joining us today. And, yeah, we look forward to catching up after tomorrow's game.
Thank you. And I look forward to everyone getting behind the team. Thank you very much for your support.
Great to hear from Andy in that setting, Matt. I think the whole round table and a microphone in conversation works really well.
Clearly Andy loved it, didn't he? It was brilliant to have that conversation. We could have gone on all day, to be honest, but unfortunately...
I mean, the two of you did.
But, so, people might tune out at that point.
Obviously, men's senior team aside, it's a busy weekend as well for under-23s and women.
Yeah, so our under-23s are taking a little break from league action where they are currently second. And they are heading to St Albans City in the Cup. And as for our women's
team...
That's
on Saturday, isn't it?
That's on Saturday. And Sunday sees our women's team head to Bexhill. And they'll be going into that one full of confidence after beating Maidstone 5-3 2 weeks ago.
Brilliant. Lovely little local derby win. That'll do.
Absolutely. There's a lot going on here at the Dorking Wanderers game as well, and it all starts a lot earlier than 3 o'clock. So do come on down and join us a little bit earlier. We've got Saturday morning soccer school starting at 9 o'clock between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. So if you've got a youngster that loves their football, do bring them down and give our Saturday morning soccer school a try. We've got our Pan Disability from 12 till 1 p.m. as well. Jim Brown Club Shop is open from 9 a.m.
Don't forget to mention breakfast. Oh, we did that earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, full English. And is there a vegan option?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
All sounds very, very nice. Jim Brown Club Shop open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Plenty of stock available in there. And the Matchday magazine will
not
be available.
Not the third shirt, though, unfortunately. That's sold out, I think.
Yes,
there was
one
shirt left in there the other day that went.
It's gone now. There are none left. Matchday magazine will be available for you just outside the club shop as well at the
what
new
do we
collection
do for next
point.
Year with the third shirt? We'll have to do something creative again, no? There's loads of red shirts left in there. I don't think people wear red. Do you wear red?
Yeah, red's my colour. anyway, 12:30 p.m. It's happy hour in Broomfield. 50% off drinks, and that's for an hour. That finishes at 1:30. Aston Villa versus Arsenal live on the Broomfield multi-screens at 12:30 p.m.
I think Millwall are playing as well at the same time, aren't they? They're at home to Sheffield United. That's on the TV as well. Both games live.
Wonderful. catch it here live. At 1 p.m, Bear Island Bar will open. And just after that, about 1:15, the players will walk through Broomfield.
I've really enjoyed seeing this.
It's brilliant, isn't it? The players walk through. We give them a little shout out on the PA. And all of the fans and people sitting in Broomfield's bar give them a lovely round of applause. And the players really, really do appreciate it. And they take the time to wave to people, shake people's hands, chat to people. There's
a few signatures as well.
Yeah.
Autographs going on.
It's brilliant to see. And then, of course, Broomfield's bar and kitchen will remain open throughout the day. Plenty of food outlets open as well in other parts of the stadium. And kickoff is at 3 o'clock.
Are you doing the old MOM in there after the
we
game?
We are. It's going to be the exclusive Man of the Match reveal and presentation in Broomfield, followed by Newcastle United versus Liverpool again, on the screens.
Again, I think that's gone down well. The last, especially the last few games. Who has it been? Louis Dennis,
Kellen.
Both of you, I think. Just the way indeed they speak and they engage, I think it was really good. And I saw the little photos of the young fans getting the autographs in there as well. I think it's really nice.
Absolutely, it's really, really good to be a part of it. And the players really enjoy it as well. It's great to see all the young fans come and ask for the autographs and photos and swamp the players, actually, as they walk into the bar. Brilliant to see. You didn't mean that one,
no,
did you?
I didn't mean that one. It's
what
only
did you mean?
Coming to the end. I was just
That's it. Let's spin it.
What other effects were on here? Oh, no, we've done that one already.
There we go, we've done that one.
Community corner.
We've already had community corner, but I genuinely think that's it from us today, isn't it? We're back.
I hope so. I mean,
and we're staying.
This is enough, isn't it, for everyone?
We're back. Well, hopefully
we'll still have some listeners.
Hopefully we'll still have some listeners. At this point. The next episode.
I don't think so.
We're going to go off air now and start playing with all these voice changers and stuff.
No more voice things.
Anyway,
for the next episode, promise.
Thank you both so much, Jeff and Josh.
Mario, big one tomorrow. It'd be great to get a good crowd down here. Dorking, I think, would travel well. It's local for
it
them.
It is. 20th place in the table. Fans. They've got a lot to play for, Dorking.
So have we. Let's get ourselves into that playoff. So I say right on that custom at the moment. A big win tomorrow. Results go away. Away we go. Also, then we've got a fantastic run in. And when you look at March and April and the teams that we've got coming here, it's all set up for a
grand
ride.
Finale. Yeah. Mm. Indeed. Interesting few weeks ahead. Make sure you are part of that journey. Come on down and join us at Hayes Lane. For all of the details, head over to bromleyfc.co.uk. Thanks, Jeff and Josh, once again for joining me this afternoon. And thank you to all of you for listening. We'll be back with you next week. Take care.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for us.